Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It is 9:12. Good morning. This is John Williams. Kind of a gray day, but Steve Grzanich is right around the corner with a forecast that does have sunshine in it. Right, Steve? You're going to tell us how sunny it's going to be a little later on?
There will be sunshine.
Got off the train this morning and thought, you know, it's kind of warm outside. Even as I was walking to the train, of course, I noticed that. By the way, if you listen to this show with some regularity, you know that my producer and I both take the same line on the L, the red line, and we've both been championing the idea that we need more police coverage. We need more security and safety on the L. There have been some unfortunate incidents over the last few months. And I'm not even talking about that shooting on the red line where the cops may have mishandled that situation. I want more cops there. Elif and I have both noticed that now that the police do seem to have a bigger presence on the L, the trains stop more often. Once again today, you're on the line, and then they just stop the train, and they say, there is a police activity at the next stop. We're going to back this train up and sit there for a while. And everybody just kind of, they don't even groan because it's the L. So everybody just silently looks at their phone, and then they make their plans accordingly. And so then I got off the L, and then I go in all the way up to the steps. And as I was on the steps going up, I heard down below, back by the train, I thought, maybe they're going to start rolling again. So I went back down and got on the train. And there's this kind of like, are we going to be here for 2 minutes or 20 minutes? And then, boom, we took off. So thank you to the police that are doing the work that none of us wants to do. It is sometimes difficult and almost impossible work to do. And as a result, the trains aren't always running on time. Hopefully all of that will work itself out. Yesterday, we were also asking you to tell us about unusual tattoos that you've seen. I was in an elevator the other day, and a woman standing next to me had a perfect outline on her forearm of Colonel Sanders. And I just so wanted to know why she picked the guy from KFC. Does she work there? Does she love the chicken? Neither of those are good enough reasons to permanently ink yourself with that.
Well, maybe the tattoo artist couldn't do Popeye.
They have contests, don't they? Where if you tattoo a logo on you, you get free KFC for life or something like that.
It better be for life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love me some KFC. Don't get me wrong. If I had to pick one brand to put on my forearm, Colonel's kind of a cool thing, and that's some good chicken.
Is he really?
And the coleslaw is good, too. I love their coleslaw. But I'm not putting a tattoo on my arm. What if I later go vegan? What if I decide I like BK better?
Right.
Now I've got all of a sudden a tattoo that means nothing to me on my forearm. So I said, tell me about the unusual tattoos that you've seen. And boy, did we get some interesting texts. In just a minute. Here is the news click from yesterday. Are you planning on limiting your exposure to groups of people? 48% of you said no. 31% said not yet, but I'm close. And 21% said yup. It's kind of across the board. But half of you said you are not planning on limiting your exposure. Along those lines, the news click today from our friends at AARP is going to ask you, should sports teams play in front of empty stadiums? LeBron said he's not playing in front of an empty stadium. Japan, Major League Baseball there, they have been. The media is limited at all of the pro franchises now, but should the Blackhawks or the Bulls, should the White Sox and Cubs, when they come to town, play in front of empty stadia? I believe that would be the plural. And that's your question. I guess it's a yes or no. I could see how the game would be completely different. Maybe that changes home court advantage. Maybe it's just weird. Maybe the fans don't even want it. I think the fans would rather have the choice, but that's sometimes not what you do. If you are in charge of 10, 20, 50, 100,000 people, then you have to decide for them, even if some of them would show up. What should they do? I don't have a quick answer to that. My attitude is let people make the decision generally, but I'm not liable for the health of the 20,000 people.
It is happening all over the world. I mean, soccer matches are going on in empty arenas in Europe, and they're still playing.
Yeah.
And the White Sox played a game in an empty stadium several years ago in Baltimore. There were no fans.
What happened there?
Because of civil unrest in the city.
Oh, no kidding. Really?
Yeah, so they played in Baltimore and with no fans on hand.
Huh.
And
I've seen some Major League Baseball games on TV. It looked like they were kind of quarantined anyway. Not many people. Have you watched any of the Florida teams play?
Right.
The Tampa?
But this was by design.
you turn on the TV and you go, there's nobody behind home plate. And then you look in the outfield and there's nobody there either. By the way, they are Chicago and they're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggetts, Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten. Get real in the morning with WGN-TV Morning News Team. That's weekdays from 4 to 10. We'll give you a chance to vote on that. That'll be our news click about the sports teams. Any thoughts about that? I would have, if you gave me tickets to the Blackhawks or the Bulls right now, I would go. If you get, I pay to go see DePaul for crying out loud, and they're not that good right now. So I'm not, I'm still on board, if you will.
I'm going to be in an arena, which probably won't be totally full tomorrow, but will be over the course of the next several days in Indianapolis for the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, how about that? Well, you just hope this all tamps down, that it stays contained enough that they can do this. About tattoos, I mentioned in the elevator the other day, I saw a woman with a KFC, Colonel Sanders. It was really well done. Big fan of the food, and I'm happy for her, but I did want to know. A guy called in yesterday and said, when people have a tattoo like that, they want you to ask. I'm not so sure they do. I didn't. John, I did something really stupid 10 years ago. I put a girl's name on my back. I'm sure you can figure out how long that relationship lasted. John, good morning. Bees sometimes are a symbol that people put on their bodies, people look at to remind themselves to be kind. I had no idea. Bees are a symbol to be kind. John, long after my stepson passed away, my ex found his Social Security card, copied his signature, and had it tattooed on her wrist. Our checker at Walmart the other day had a tattoo of a huge, menacing-looking knife on her forearm. I've got tattoos. I like them, but this was odd. My 30-year-old niece has numerous tattoos. Recently, my mother-in-law passed away, and she wanted to put a tattoo of her face on her inner thigh. Why would anyone want a tattoo of Grandma there? My mother-in-law would be mortified to be memorialized there as well. John, I worked at Aurelio's with a girl who had a tramp stamp on her lower back, and it was in the form of a 3 to 4 inch wide circle with a decorative line like pinstriping all around it. And on the inside of the circle, it said, place beer here. I am not kidding. Here's the weirdest of them all so far. I'm a dentist. I placed a porcelain molar crown with the McDonald's golden arches on it for someone who worked there and was hoping for a promotion. I'm not sure I believe this one. Good story, Doc, but I don't think that's true. Really, you can get decorative porcelain crowns, and if you can, you can get them with the McDonald's logo. Where do you go for that? Who makes those? And by the way, I don't know what porcelain crowns cost. Well, I kind of do. I don't know what the signature ones cost, though, but I guess they're probably a couple $1,000s. I just don't think that's the best way for you to spend your McDonald's wage earnings on the crown. Just tell the boss. I mean, anyway, I'll stop giving advice here. John, my daughter is an adopted Korean. She has a tattoo behind her right ear. Picture the round USDA stamp that would be on a side of beef. She has that exact layout, but the wording is made in Korea. It's about the size of a quarter. I hate tattoos, but this one's actually cute. Love the show. Signed, Donna. Thanks, Donna. Okay, you can play too. 312-981-7200. John might be finished with the tattoo segment, but a friend of mine, also in her 70s, said that the only two tattoo she will ever get is when she is put in a nursing home. She wants the letters DNR tattooed on her chest. Okay, so that's
right there. Don't need any paperwork.
Really, that should be a sign of commitment by the person. I don't need no lawyer. I just had it tattooed there.
My best friend's on a cruise, and last week she met a couple that had the cruise line logo tattooed on their legs. And, I talk to her constantly, and I was like, do they get free trips for life or really? What's going on? And she never got the chance to ask them. But yeah, if you're putting a logo, you better be getting something in return.
The cruise line
the
on
cruise
her legs?
Cruise line, yeah. So hopefully it's one of those cruise lines that doesn't come back with coronavirus because, you know, don't want that nasty experience
the
on your body the rest
X
of your life.
Tattooed back over the top of that. Ed, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Ed? You're on the air.
I was in the Navy during the Korean War, and I served on an oil tanker, and we had 120 of us lived in one compartment, and we only had one bathroom. And so you never wore any clothes when you went off to the bathroom. You put your towel around your neck and your flip-flops and your shaving gear. I'm walking down the passageway following this guy, and on each cheek of his butt, he's got a propeller tattooed. You know, above it, it says, twin screws, keep clear, 40 knots and no smoke.
That's good news for the guy standing behind him, huh?
Yeah, right.
Thanks for the call. You have a good day.
Anything you can bet in Vegas, you can now bet here in Illinois. And guess what? At the opening ceremonies, the wireless microphones were going in and out half of the press conference. And then Neil Bloom, who's the chairman of Rush Street Gaming, let's just say he had a clothing gaffe where the belt came off and the pants came down as he was giving his speech. You can't make this stuff up. And then he said, well, the stock market's down today, and so are my pants. And then he pulled them back up and belted them back up. It doesn't sound like that would actually happen, but the chairman's pants actually fell down.
I love the street cafe. I'm on a street team. I love Meryl Streep in the flick, One True Thing. I love traffic. I love the colors yellow and green. I like talk radio when they talk about things. Let's talk about things.
Like to his knees?
Yeah. By the end of this song.
That's the question. Sam Panionovich reporting in yesterday, and Bertrand is asking the question we're all wondering, like, how far did the pants fall? He said down to the thighs, but it was so noticeable. No, not to the floor, not even to his knees, but you get the idea. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Steve. Oh, and then the very tag at the end, the most famous costume malfunction of all time, Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake. On the stage at the Super Bowl, I thought I would tag that bit with that, what with it being a costume malfunction. And in doing so, I went back and watched the video. And wow, I was shocked at how evident that crime was. I mean, you really did see it. I've long said and will even to my last day that that was an accident. They did not mean to expose her that way. But hokey smokes was she exposed, and I don't remember it being so obvious, so blatant. So, you know, if you're just sitting there with your kids and grandma, offensive or surprising or shocking. Okay, I'm back now. It's 9:42. This is WGN. This texter said to us, hey, John, going back to last week's topic on universally liked people, we talked about that nationally, a Dolly Parton, an Alex Trebek, a Tom Hanks. And then we talked about who would be local versions of that, an Orion Samuelson, a Tom Skilling, a Dave Ennett. Going back to last week's topic on universally liked people, Michael J. Fox. I watched Back to the Future over the weekend and thought he was perfect for your list. Yeah, thanks for remembering that. I'll pass that along. About tattoos that people display, do you ask them? John, I asked a man about his tattoo on his calf, Shel Silverstein's The Giving Tree. It was beautifully rendered. He said it was his favorite childhood book. It was so endearing. John, I've got a very nice monkey holding a golden banana. I don't know if that's code or if they really have that, but that's what this texter said. And about the coronavirus, Steve, John, everybody, why is it being promoted to cancel meetings, events, trade shows, sporting events to prevent the spread of coronavirus? But there's no talk of political rallies and politicians out shaking hands, kissing babies. Those are still happening without any second thoughts. It's a double standard, regardless of the side you're on.
Well, there has been some talk about that, by the way. I know I saw some questions to the Democratic candidates yesterday about it, and they said that Bernie and Joe both said that they would abide by local authorities. So if the local authorities who have the ability to cancel one of these rallies canceled one of the rallies, they would abide by that decision.
Obviously,
so it is being talked about.
Bernie, whatever was decided to do the rally in Grant Park on Saturday. That wasn't that long ago. You know, we did a little quiz yesterday. It's the Mega Monday Morning Quiz. We do it from our for our friends at Mega Pros, and we do it Monday mornings at around 11:30. And yesterday was about Illinois college basketball. I was remiss in not doing a question about the women's DePaul women's basketball program. Our friend Pete McMurray sent this text in. Doug Bruno has been to the NCAA tournament 18 years in a row, doesn't get enough credit. DePaul women are so good. Oh, and go Bradley. Yeah, Bradley's doing real well downstate. Peoria, Illinois. Pete McMurray's an alum there. But yeah, let's tip the hat to the best basketball team in town right now, and that's the DePaul women. They are consistently that. They're really good. It's 9:49. This is WGN Radio. John Williams here. By the way, we were talking about tattoos a moment ago, and then somebody said, well, I'm a dentist, and you should see the things we put on people's crowns, like the McDonald's arches for an employee who worked at McDonald's, wanted a raise, wanted to show the love. John, you can have symbols put on your crown, says 269. I've been a dental technician since 1983, and I've done it hundreds of times. Most common is sports symbols. Thanks, George, listening in Michigan. In fact, 708 sent us a text, and here's a picture of their crown. And it's got the Cubs tattooth from my dentist. King John, here's my tattooth. And it's a big old molar. And on the side, the big circle C with the UBS in the middle. Now, does that go on the visible side or the back side? I guess you wouldn't put it on the back side. That would just be for you and nobody. But if you put it on the visible side, every now and then people are, well, I guess you're a Cubs fan. That's, you do want them to see that. Have you been seeing the coverage of the royal family? I was watching it last night on television. Brenda and I were kind of watching TV, and it came on, and I thought, eh, this isn't that important. It's perfect. I'll watch it. Meghan Markle gives Kate Middleton a wave as they meet for the first time since Megxit. I'm reading from FoxNews.com. Meghan Markle was seen giving a little wave to her sister-in-law, Kate, as they met publicly for the first time since the Megxit bombshell. The Duchess of Sussex mouthed hello to Kate as she found her seat at Westminster Abbey for the Commonwealth Day service. Harry said hello and smiled at his brother sitting next to his wife. But that was it. And it looked like there was some bad blood. And the more I saw this and the more I saw the coverage of it, the more I thought, I know exactly why Harry and Meghan are leaving. Who wants to put up with this? Hannah Stanley has talked to us about the royal family before. She is the co-host of a podcast that's exclusively about royal watching called Gabby Road. Hi, Hannah. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Good. Is that real bad blood, or are we overreading the little signals?
No, it's bad blood. They're angry. And I don't blame William and Kate for being frustrated. You know, this is something that they were going to be the Fab Four and take on the challenges of making the world a better place together. And they were going to be able to divide their time and spread the goodness. And all of a sudden, two of them bailed. And I understand why they're frustrated.
Let me read you a sentence from this story on FoxNews.com. It says here, there have been rumors of a rift between the two royal couples, mm-hmm. with tensions rising with the announcement of Harry's departure from the royal family. But there's a phrase I wanted to get to. William and Kate were reportedly incandescent with rage when they found out. Really? I mean, they didn't see it coming. I don't know if the brothers talk. But incandescent with rage made it sound like they were surprised, too.
Well, it's very British, isn't it, to use that kind of a phrase. It's,
yeah,
incandescent. But it is probably not something they thought he would ever get to. I'm sure they've all, you know, both of the boys have probably at some point wanted a different life. Who hasn't? You know, we've all wished that we, very often little girls want to be a princess. So now we're seeing that it's not all that it's cracked up to be. But there is, you know, a teamwork that William and Harry have always had. They've always, yeah, had each other. And so for him to just go, yeah, I'm good. I got to go see about a girl. I've known her for 2 or 3 years now. I'm out. That's a big deal to step away from your family like that.
Well, they are married. They have, mm-hmm. a child. But I No, they don't have a child. But no, they do have a child.
They
have a child, Meghan Markle, yeah, Harry, sure.
They have Archie, although you forget because they don't ever bring him back to the to England anymore. He always stays in Canada.
Okay, but it's clear that you and I are in different places on this, and yep. I guess I should defer to you because you're the expert. So you think they do have an inherent obligation, they should honor it. I just thought you've only got one life, and if that's not a good life for you, do whatever it is that makes you happy.
I agree in the choices that they could have made. I disagree in how they made them. I feel that it could have been handled very politely and delicately, wherein they started spending more time across the pond, you know, and it was something that the Queen said, you know, yeah, this is something that they're going about their own lives and choosing to really carve their own path and make the world a better place in their own way. That would have been very delicate. The way that they came out on Instagram, and what was amusing to me is they said they didn't want to be in the limelight. So now we're going to announce on Instagram, where we have more followers than almost anybody else, that put them in the limelight. It became a media spectacle by saying they didn't want to be a media spectacle, and that's where I took issue.
According to The Sun over there in England, the Queen had lunch with Harry and said she would welcome him back if he and Meghan ever decided to rejoin the royals. I like the sound of that. Do you believe that?
I do. She also invited them to attend the church service with her on Sunday, which they did. So this is all very, very good. They're very close. Harry and his grandmother, and especially his grandfather, all very close. And I think because she was such an integral part of their raising after Diana died, that it is something that she would, you know, it's a little bit prodigal son-ish.
Then one of the last appearances, she was at a school and a young man, a 16-year-old teenager who was part of the school program, embraced her. I think he might have kissed her on the cheek, and he had to deal with that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, there's royal protocol, which is very interesting. So, you know, if you touch the Queen's hands, you have to have them gloved, different things. So, of course, he's not supposed to embrace a royal. That's far and away over the line. However, she's not technically royal anymore, is she? She is until March 31st. So there will be some probably hand slapping for that. Not real, but he'll be spoken to.
I suppose you all are talking about this in your next episode, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, we do general interest as well, but without question, this is Fred Weintraub and I, and then Justin Kolevsek, the three of us. For sure, Fred and I, this is one of our favorite pastimes, is watching the royals.
That's why they call it Gabby Road. Hannah Stanley, the co-host of that podcast, Gabby Road. Nice to talk to you. I'll call you again, Hannah. It's always fun.
Always fun to talk to you. Thanks so much for having me.
It's 9:57 WGN Radio News. We're watching the markets. We're paying attention to the news, and it's all coming up. You and I will understand the concern, but also the dismay. 630 just texted in, Great Lakes Naval Center canceled the public attendance for graduation. Families who have not seen their recruits in 10 weeks won't get their afternoon with them before they ship out across the globe. By the way, we were talking about tattoos and how some people get their logos of their favorite teams on their crowns. This texter texted back and said, that one I sent you of the Cubs is on the visible side. 10:11 on WGN. Lots of texts like this today, too, by the way. John, keep being afraid of COVID-19, but I'm still going to keep enjoying the city and run the Shamrock Shuffle in a few days and eat in Chinatown. How about a Blackhawks game to boot? I'm in. Jen DeSalvo is our big, like, marathon runner, exerciser. Are you going to be in the Shamrock Shuffle this year?
I'm not going to be in it. I think some of you know that I have a couple affiliations. I also work for NBC, and they're the partner. So I will be covering the Shamrock Shuffle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is still on.
I hope it's still on. It's so much fun.
Just got a text from my friend Frank, and he said, John, I found out yesterday the annual high-end audio show called Expona, A-X-P-O-N-A, which was scheduled for April 7th through the 9th in Schaumburg, has been postponed till August. This is the biggest audio show in North America. Audiophiles love it. You get the cool speakers and all of the audio gadgets, and Frank and Lori go there every year and look at speakers that cost tens of thousands of dollars. I don't understand that, Frank, but still, it's your decision. And I don't know that they spend tens of thousands of dollars on the speakers, but people do. John, I found out it's been canceled. They've postponed it in Schaumburg until August. Biggest one like that in North America. John, I booked on Southwest to Albuquerque in January. I checked the flights this morning. Fares went down. I now have a credit of $171 toward my next flight. That's interesting to me. So if I don't understand this, I booked on Southwest in January, checked the flights this morning and fares went down. I now have a credit. Well, just because the rate went down doesn't mean they'll credit you the difference. That's what this sounds like. I don't know exactly what's going on with all of this. Peter Greenberg does. He's the host of Eye on Travel, and you will hear that Sunday night at 7 on WGN. Sunday night at 7, WGN Radio, 7 to 9, our travel show with Peter Greenberg. He's the best. I spoke to him in the office, Elephant and I did this morning. I said, where are you? And he said, I'm on an island in the Indies, or just some bizarre, far-flung place. I said, well, of course you are. Remember, he does his show every week from a different place on planet Earth, and he is still traveling and reporting on what it is like out there. Nobody better on this. That'll be Sunday night at 7. He'll join us today in the 11 o'clock hour at 11:10. I've got questions about your spring break flights and rates and discounts. Peter Greenberg, 11:10 this morning here on WGN Radio. There is a video of a young woman who was so fed up with her job at Wendy's, she decided to quit. Before I get to that, the maybe most famous quitting scene of all time, I want you to tell me about those moments. Call or text 312-981-7200 where you quit your job or somebody else did, and how did that go down? Any of us who've probably ever worked have wondered, have fantasized about that scene where you're going to throw down in front of the boss and say, that's it, I'm out of here. And it'll be so rewarding. And everybody will applaud or silently applaud you. Yeah, nice job. Thank you. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been to that situation? Have you ever seen that? The most famous scene of them all, of course, is from Jerry Maguire.
Well, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not going to do what you all think I'm going to do, which is just flip out. But let me just say, as I ease out of the office I helped build, I'm sorry, but it's a fact that there is such a thing as manners, a way of treating people. These fish have manners. These fish have manners. In fact, they're coming with me. I'm starting a new company, and the fish will come with me. Who's coming with me? Who's coming with me? Who's coming with me? This is embarrassing.
Two lines I take away from that scene with me. I say them a lot. Who's coming with me? And these fish have manners. These fish have manners. The second part of that scene, though, is just as good as the first. I'll get to that in a sec. It's 10:20. This is WGN. Okay, so this is a thing. I guess it's called rage quitting. People just say, that's it, I'm out of here, and they make videos. Sometimes they do it live online. They're either streaming on Facebook. There's TikTok videos, Instagram videos, Twitter videos. People say, watch this, I'm going to quit my job. And then they do make the scene. Nobody as well as Jerry Maguire, because then after Jerry Maguire, of course, quits his job and nobody's coming with him, Dorothy says, I'll come with you.
I will go with you.
Dorothy Boyd, thank you.
You know what I like about this scene? He knew her name. I mean, she was just one worker in the office. They had met on the flight and she wasn't much to him. And then he remembered her name. So she stands up. She doesn't know what to do. She walks out. The music plays and you know we're in for an adventure. Love me some Jerry Maguire, right? Okay, so here's the latest video. This is the one that got some attention this week. It's a young woman. She works at Wendy's. She's talking into her camera phone and she's describing how she's going to quit and why she wants to quit. This is cut one.
I'm going to quit right now. It's hard for me because I love this job and I worked here for a year and I actually really like it. But the managers, the new ones, are being really mean to me. And I still have to mop and sweep, so I'm not going to just quit and leave it for them to clean because I feel bad. So I'm going to hop out the window when I'm done, and I'm going to quit, and I'm going to hop out the window. But first, I'm going to sweep and do my job and then leave because I don't want to leave them with all the work, you know.
She works the drive-through, and she's going to be the last thing passed through the window. You kind of get it both ways there, don't you? It's like, that's not the way to do it. But she's at least going to make sure she gets all of her chores done. She doesn't want to leave anybody else holding the bag. That's good. And now she's making a video about it. Here's cut two.
I have a new job at Export Fitness anyway, so I was going to quit anyway. So they're being mean right now, so that's my chance to take, you know?
She's got a new job lined up. Remember, the best time to look for a job is when you already have one, and she's got a new job lined up. Although I don't know that the new employer is crazy about this video that she's posting from her old employer. Just a thought. Just being your parent there. And then finally, that's it. She's out of there.
So he just told me that the manager said I'm a lost cause. I'm quitting for sure.
Hey, John. I quit.
She climbs through the window. Stop. She's climbing through the window.
I'm not a lost cause, and I quit. Goodbye.
Closes the window. Off she goes with her friend.
Do you know how old she was, or is?
Yeah, she looks to be 19.
Yeah, because that's not really something that...
Hey, that's not cool.
I'm just saying, someone who has more experience in the real world would not do that. They might want to do it and fantasize about doing it, but they probably wouldn't ever pull through.
There's nothing more gratifying than a letter of resignation. And if you really hate your job, having that boss read it right in front of you and waiting for the reaction on your face. I think that that's the way to do it. Not just like, peace out, I'm making a video. Bye.
Yeah, but then she does crawl through the window.
And then that's the cherry on top of the cake.
Me, I'd fall out the window and break my ankle, and then the boss would have to call an ambulance. I mean, that's the thing. Anytime I contemplate some dramatic gesture, I used to do this when I'd get really frustrated on my junior college basketball team, and I never thought that the coaches were giving me, and they were great guys, and I loved them, but I was also conflicted because I wanted to get to play, and I never got to play, and so I always had in my mind these scenes where I would say, that's it! I'm out of here! You guys will be sorry when you don't have me to kick around and practice anymore. But I knew I'd then walk out the wrong door or slip in the shower. I don't know. It would never play out the way I wanted it to.
I didn't mean it. Can we be friends now?
Could you give me a hand here, coach? Bert, you're on WGN. What did you want to say, Bert? You're on the air.
I worked for a factory that I applied for a position that I had been doing for 3 years, and they told me I wasn't qualified. So it's okay. They brought somebody in from out of state and asked me to train the guy to do the job. So I'm like, that's it. I quit. And they're like, don't be like that. I walked out my last day. I punched out carrying my boom box with the tune, take this job and shove it, playing out loud.
How'd that feel? Looking back years later, does that still feel good?
Oh, yeah, it does. It does. I walked into a job I've been with for over 35 years, and I'm happy with them.
Oh, I'm really glad to hear that. What a scene. All right, Bert, well done. Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Bye.
There's a video when you go down this road, and there's one guy who is about to quit, and his boss sees it coming. And then he turns the corner, and there's a marching band there, and they're playing something like Take This Job and Shove It or something. And then the guy marches out with his friends, the marching band, to the elevator and down. That's a scene. That's planning your exit. Somebody said if you're going to do exit scenes, you've got to do the one from Office Space. It's when... Jennifer Aniston is working. What's the name of the restaurant that she's working at?
I think it's Flair.
Well, no, Flair is the stuff that she is supposed to wear. So she's a waitress, and they want the waitresses and the waiters to exude some personality. They want them to really go for it, wear personal items on their vest and on their suspenders and shirts that are Flair. And she doesn't want to wear a lot of flair. This is her exit scene.
We need to talk. Do you know what this is about?
My flair?
Yeah. Or your lack of flair, because I'm counting, and I only see 15 pieces. Let me ask you a question, Joanna. What do you think of a person who only does the bare minimum?
If you want me to wear 37 pieces of flair like your pretty boy over there, Brian, why don't you just make the minimum 37 pieces of flair?
Well, I thought I remembered you saying that you wanted to express yourself.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I do.
She's about to give him the finger.
Okay, then I don't need 37 pieces of flair to do it. All right, there's my flair, okay? And this is me expressing myself, okay? There it is. I hate this job.
With a single finger, she expressed her flair. I suppose most of us would take down 50 or 100 points after giving up 1,000 and 2,000, but it's also a 1,000-point swing with those initiatives announced. The markets were reacting positively, and now not so positively, as you said. The Dow is down 60 points right now, so that's where we are.
You have to wonder how much of this is about credibility and believability, because there was nothing from the White House at all. No planned meetings, nothing. And then the president just dropped this.
It'll require passage by the Congress, too. And I would imagine the Congress would be inclined to do something along these lines. Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy, where are you? We'll reach out to him and other members of our delegation to see what their thoughts are about this. Hey, you know, a little while ago, I was talking about that guy that called in or texted in and said that he had booked a flight in January. He just went back and he's got a $167 credit or something like that. I didn't realize what so many of you are telling me. John, on Southwest, you can rebook the same flight at a cheaper price and get a credit for the difference. I did not realize that. John, we just got back from Arizona yesterday. The airport seemed a little less crowded, but our flights were full. Southwest gives you credit, John, if you find a lower fare. Yeah, everybody seems to know that but me. And about those quitting videos, John, Fight Club, in its own twisted way, is a great quitting video. I'll have to think about that. Dennis said that in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Judd quits his job, and that's a pretty good scene. Yeah, I guess there's a lot of them out there if you think about it. You know what else was just kind of curious to me? This morning I woke up again earlier than my body wanted to, because we're now on the spring forward daylight saving time, and it's still a little hard for me to get up. I'll be honest with you. I normally set my alarm at 6:03. If I'm feeling fat and lazy, I get up at 6:13. Lately, it's been more like 6:23. I'm buying an extra 10 minutes there. And there's been a lot of talk in the state about this bill in Springfield that would eliminate it, that in the fall we would not fall back. We talked about that the other day and realized we had a lot of questions. Senator Dan McConchie is on a phone line. Hey, Senator, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. How are you?
I'm all right. Good to be with you this morning.
You are from Lake Zurich, correct?
That's where my office is. That's where I'm calling you from today.
Yeah, 26th District. It's passed the House and it's in front of the Senate, or vice versa. What's the status of this?
So the bill passed the Senate last year. It was actually an idea of some students, of one of my colleagues, Senator Andy Menar. And they had debated. A lot of us have kind of like little youth advisory councils that will run with high school students, and
right,
we'll bring them together, try to educate them about government. This was their idea, and so Senator Menar said, hey, I'll introduce it. Actually got some legs, passed the Senate, and is currently pending in the House.
What are its chances, do you think?
With the House, you never quite know. But one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is, even if we were to pass this law and it become the law of the state of Illinois, the federal government limits our ability to be able to just wantonly change time zones. And so the federal government will have to give us permission to do that. And, there's a lot of other states who are considering similar types of measures. And I think that by us passing this, other states passing similar types of bills may actually force Congress to finally once and for all take up this question that seems to have so many people so frustrated twice a year of having to move their clock.
And it would be most noticeable in the fall. In other words, we would not fall back. We wouldn't at 5 o'clock now say it's 4 o'clock, that sort of thing.
Exactly right. It would. And, you know, there's been a debate as to whether or not if we get rid of daylight savings time, should we stay on standard time or should we stay on daylight savings time? There's a little bit of a debate about that. I think some farmers and some retail establishments have a little bit of different views on it.
Right.
So that's part of the debate we need to kind of settle on.
Retailers want it to be light later, so that encourages people to go out and continue to shop. They actually think it makes an economic difference. Orion Samuelson, our agribusiness pro here, says that farmers aren't as you might pass this along. Farmers are not as concerned about this as they once were. I don't think I'm misquoting Orion there. Would we be on the Eastern time zone then? Is that what that means? I mean, would we be following the same time as they do in New York?
So the time that we were on right now would be so the bill, the way it was drafted, is we would stay on daylight savings time. And so, again, because the federal government doesn't allow us to pick and choose, my guess is that what would end up happening is in some grand compromise, we would still be in the central time zone,
yeah.
But that, you know, either we would all be standard or we would all be daylight.
Well, whatever you call it, I mean, Wisconsin, Missouri, Illinois, I'm just thinking of Michigan. Well, Michigan's eastern. But, I mean, all of the states that are receiving the same amount of sunlight at a given time should all be on the same time, right? It would be crazy if we said it's 4 o'clock and Wisconsin said it's 5 o'clock. I understand east-west, but north-south would make no sense.
Yeah, and I get that, and that's, you know, I mean, there was only two states that kind of opted out of going with daylight savings time back in the beginning, Arizona and then Indiana. And I actually grew up in Indiana under a regime in which our clocks never changed, but the clocks of everybody else around us did. I grew up around the Terre Haute area where my grandparents lived on the Illinois side of the border, and so half the year we were hour off and half the year it was the same. It was odd, but it wasn't unusual. But, you know, this bill, because of what the federal government's rules are, wouldn't put us into that situation. It would just give us a little bit of a push toward getting a national solution.
Yeah, I thought we would be autonomous in this. We could call ourselves whatever we want, but that's not the case, huh?
No, the federal government limits our ability to do that.
I guess that makes sense. And so then the really only big decision would be, you know, what, say in the fall, what do you want? That's what I'm thinking of, because it just seems so lovely to get that extra hour of sleep that Sunday when you fall back, but then you know it's going to be dark earlier. And so what do you all want? Do you want to have that hour of sunlight? Do you want to call that 5 o'clock or do you want to call that 6 o'clock, right?
Right, yep.
6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, do you want to fall back? I don't know. Do you have a dog in that hunt? Do you care, Senator?
You know, I think that my tendency is to side with the retailers in regards to this. I do think that there would be an economic benefit to it still being sunlight when people are on their way home. There's a little bit of concern that some people have about what time school buses will be going around in the morning, and will it still be dark at that point? So I think that's the big push the other way.
Yeah, that's the hard place. If the other one is irresistible force and the immovable object, those are two steady positions for people. One last thing about this, Senator. Would this affect the television viewing for us of sporting events or late-night TV shows? You know, would the Tonight Show, instead of being on at 10:30, now be on at 11:30, stuff like that?
Again, it shouldn't do that, because this would only go into effect with a national solution that would kind of take care of this once and for all.
How about those kids, huh? They're government in action. They're actually instigating a statewide, maybe a national debate here. Good for them.
Absolutely. You know, I was a little skeptical when they came into committee, but they did such a great job presenting it. I signed on as a co-sponsor.
Senator, what school is that?
You know, it's a school down south of Springfield, Illinois.
Okay.
So I don't remember the exact name.
Not in these parts here. You're in Lake Zurich. Nice to talk to you this morning, Senator Dan McConchy from the 26th. We'll visit again. Thanks for your help, Senator.
Thanks for having me.
Have a good day. Hey, Tony, jump in there before I go to Mr. Fix-It. What can I do for you, Tony? You're on the air.
Hey, John, you know, I still like to know why they call it daylight savings time. It's like, what are you saving? It's getting dark earlier. Everybody's turning lights on and that. An hour earlier, people are driving home in pitch black weather in the evening at 4 o'clock. I mean, none of that makes any sense to me whatsoever. And I just feel like You know, the government needs to quit screwing around with things like this and just let it be what it is. Because I personally, when we just changed the time for like it is, I love the fact that it's staying light for an hour later.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just makes it just makes it better for everybody.
I kind of like that too. Yeah. I'm with you on that, Tony. When I get to be king, I'm going to put you in charge of this, okay?
Hey, you know what? I'm with you, buddy.
Thanks for the phone call.
Thank you.
If you want a full explanation of how all of this works, do not ask me. Because every time I think I got my head around it, then I realize that I do not. Lou Manfredini is somewhere chuckling at that very idea. Hi, Lou. How are you?
See? I'm good. How are you, John?
You just landed from somewhere, huh?
Yeah, I just flew from Chicago to New York. I'm going to be on the Today Show tomorrow. And so it's a beautiful 65, partly cloudy skies here in New York City.
Nice. So what was it like at the airport? Do you see more evidence that a large gathering place like that or the airlines are kind of cracking down?
You know, it's funny. You and I were just texting about a different topic, and I mentioned to you that I was going to O'Hare, and I do travel quite a bit. And, you know, as I was walking through the airport, everything looked completely normal. The only thing that I was surprised about is that I fly to New York quite a bit, and I would say that the flight I was on was probably at 60% capacity, meaning that, you know, the plane was not full, which is not common for an 8:30 a.m. flight to New York City. But I did also recognize the fact that, you know, it was a mix of all different kinds of people. Not one person was wearing a mask on the plane.
Did the attendants or staff talk to you in any way about the virus?
You know, I made a comment to the flight attendant, and I said, "Oh, are you seeing capacity lowering?" He goes, "Yeah, a little bit." He goes, "I think it's going to get lower before it comes back to normal." So, you know, who knows? There's maybe an arc. I know personally of people that are consultants that work for big firms, and they've curtailed the travel. But, you know, nobody was, you know, it was funny because, you know, you're listening, like, are people coughing or sneezing? And it was a pretty quiet, normal flight from Chicago to New York. Not a lot of people on the plane.
Yeah, well, that's something, though, I would imagine. Where did you fly into? LaGuardia?
LaGuardia, yeah. Right. You know, which is, you know, a whole other topic because the airport is, you know, completely up for grabs with all the construction. And so, you know, inherently a lot of flights people come to New York City now are doing a lot of Newark just because it's really hard to get in and out of LaGuardia. But,
we've been to JFK.
It was abnormal. We boarded. It was, you know, everything was normal. And it was, it's the first time I've flown post all of this, you know, virus stuff locally.
I've been to LaGuardia and I've been to JFK. I think LaGuardia is the seventh ring of hell, but I think JFK was maybe the sixth or eighth. They were jockeying for position, those two.
I've always been amazed at the shape of LaGuardia, and that, and now when they get done with this new terminal, which I think is like 5 years from now, it's going to be beautiful.
I thought last time I flew through New York, and it wasn't recently, it was, gosh, a couple of years ago, they were working on it, and I thought they'd be done by now. But it was a disaster then.
Yeah. The terminals have not come down yet. They're building the new terminal, which is on the other side of the turnaround for the cars. And then that whole terminal that we just came out of, what everyone's using currently, will be taken down. And then you know, the runways and gates, I think, will be expanded a little bit. But it's a small little piece of property, so there's not a lot of room. It's by no stretch of the imagination like an O'Hare, and so there's only so much room to work with there.
Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini's on the phone. You hear him Saturday mornings on this radio station helping folks with stuff. What are you going to talk about on the Today Show tomorrow?
We're talking about items that you need to kind of get ready in your home for spring cleaning that you don't normally think about. Dryer vents, your stinky washing machine, that drain in your kitchen sink or vanity that really smells. And so I've got some quick tips on five little ways to do that and really get the home ready for the spring.
I don't know if you're going to touch on this. Maybe you could for us down the road, but I was thinking about doing a more industrial clean of my place, maybe my office space, maybe my common area.
Sure.
I wonder if there are products or tips to not just sweep up and clean up, but sanitize our places.
100%.
And I don't know what those products are, and I don't know how to use them.
I'm happy to discuss that with you. We can put that all together, but it's really products you already know about. It's just a question of the right solutions and making sure that you're getting every little bit of it. So whether it's bleach solution or an antibacterial, you know, there's a lot of Pine Sol, for instance, is an antibacterial. And when that is put together with warm water, you know, it can disinfect and clean. You just got to cover all of the surfaces to make sure you get it.
Friend of mine works in sales, and he sells to nursing homes, restaurants a little bit, but more nursing homes, hospitals, and he sells sanitation equipment and supplies. I said, boy, right. I bet you're busy. He said, you know what we've sold out of and have for a while are the electrostatic guns. He said what it is, it's like this little squirt sprayed thing, battery powered, and you hook it up to a reservoir of a cleaning solution, and then you whoosh, spray this mist on your phones and on your keyboards and on your screens and on your stuff. And it's, I'm not exactly sure what electrostatic means, but it's not like it messes up the circuitry. It sort of coats it, evaporates, and disinfects it. I'm like, oh man, I want one of those things. I'll bet it costs $1,000. He said, oh, it's just a couple $100. Problem is you can't get one now, but I want right. one now. That sounds like a great gizmo to me, doesn't it to you?
Well, it's ultraviolet. A lot of them are ultraviolet light. And
oh.
So, you know, HVAC companies sell ultraviolet lights for air purification that can be placed into your forced air systems. I happen to have them on our own home. And then the other thing is these ultra air purifiers, which are out there as well. A lot of people are concerned about indoor air quality. I get a lot of emails about people wanting to do environmental testing inside their homes. Some of these air purifiers that you can have HVAC companies install, they were developed for the military, for military installations, and they were actually developed to actually take anthrax out of the air. Now, they never like to say that, but that's how powerful they are. And those, while it's an expensive proposition to do something in the home, it's probably a $2,500, maybe even a $3,000, you know, installation. People that have allergies and asthma and are super concerned about indoor air quality, this is a, could be a potential solution for them.
You know, the World Health Organization, we mentioned this a couple of times, Lou, but they put a thing out this week that said that the air filtration systems on airplanes are the same kind they have in operating theaters for hospitals, that actually that's very good air that you're breathing there.
I've always known that, and because I travel so much, people talk about that, and the fact that the air exchange in an airplane is way better than most of us experience in our everyday lives. I mean, in our homes that we live in, we don't have the kind of air exchange that we do on an airplane or even in the studio that you're sitting in right now, because you know that you can't open up a window, and so they're constantly bringing in fresh air and conditioning the air and circulating it through there. So in many cases, in modern office buildings, the air is of a higher quality that you're breathing than in your own home.
I'm going to task you with coming up with some solutions and tips for us, and we'll do that next week. Okay, Lou?
Done.
That's our friend Mr. Fix-It. When are you going to be on this radio station on Saturday, sir?
I'm going to be on that radio station at 7 a.m. tomorrow, and tomorrow I will be on your TV sets on NBC in the 10 o'clock hour of the Today Show.
Oh, are you on with Bob Surratt tomorrow, too?
What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow is not Saturday. Tomorrow is, I'm almost sure it's Wednesday.
No, I'm on with Bob Surratt on Fridays at 6:40 in the morning.
I got it. But
today is Tuesday.
Yeah.
Your name is John.
I'll talk to you later, Lou.
Goodbye.
That's your Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. This is WGN. You know, a little while ago, John Williams here, I mentioned that a friend of mine is in the industrial cleaning business. He was telling me about some electrostatic gun where you can spray down your phone and your keyboard and your TV and your house. And it's a way of disinfecting things. It's what hospitals and nursing homes use. I said, boy, that'd be a seller. He said, you can't get them. And it's more industrial application. Somebody just sent me a text, though, with a picture of the EvaClean. E-V-A-Clean. EvaClean. EvaClean.com. And it looks like just what I'm talking about. A little gun there and then a reservoir where you put in the fluid and you could spray down your kids and the dog and your keyboards and stuff like that. EvaClean. Don't know much about it. Thought I'd pass that along. About cleaning things, though, 847 texted in and said, I flew to Nashville on Thursday last week. I wiped down my seat with Santa wipes and passed them to my husband and friends in my group. The lady next to me was doing the same. The flight attendant walked by and said, my plane has never been cleaner. Maybe this is the cleanest time to fly. And 708 said, I flew in from Los Angeles to Chicago last night. Everyone was wiping down their area. Everyone. It smelled like Clorox on the plane. I thought, yes, yes, good for us doing their job. Well, maybe they did their job. I don't mind you doing a double, though, huh? It's 11:14. This is WGN. Peter Greenberg, the travel expert. I've got a question for you. So, if I'm going on spring break and I haven't bought extra travel insurance, are the airlines going to give me my money back or give me credit later on if I just want to cancel because of things right now? Peter answers that after this. Yesterday about this time, Sam Panionovich was talking about and was calling in from the sports book, the first legal in Illinois. We were talking about wagers you could make on games. We were talking about betting on DePaul in Illinois, and a couple of you reminded Sam, and he later said, oh, sure, I know that. I should have mentioned it. But you can't, as an Illinois resident, bet on Illinois colleges. It's one of the things they're doing to safeguard the purity of big-time college sports. If you and I could bet on Illinois games, the thinking goes, we might be inclined to go down to campus and bribe the kids, give them a car, take them out for a steak dinner, say, hey, if you could just miss a jump shot, that would help. So to insulate from that, even though I guess the same thing could happen with the pros, they're making so much money they won't be so tempted. The college kids might. So in Illinois, you cannot bet as an Illinois resident on Illinois teams. People in Wisconsin can. The idea being they're further away, even though, you know, Marquette's right there and Northwestern's right there, but that's what they've done. Illinoisans can't bet on Illinois colleges. I want somebody to go to Indiana then and put $50 down for me on DePaul winning the Big East tournament, because I think if I do, then I make $10,000. Peter Greenberg has a travel show called Eye on Travel on WGN Radio. It's on weekends. This weekend, it's Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Peter, where are you today?
Today, I'm actually broadcasting from the island of Nevis in the West Indies. I'm getting on a plane right after I talk to you to fly back to New York.
Nevis in the West Indies. I don't even know what that means.
Nevis is part of a federation that includes St. Kitts. Two beautiful islands down here.
Oh, St. Kitts. I've heard of that. So that's a vacation destination.
Yes.
How long did it take you to get there from where you were last?
I got on a plane yesterday morning in LaGuardia, New York, and about 7 hours later, I was landing in St. Kitts. Took about a 20-minute boat ride over to Nevis, broadcast my show this morning, and now I'm going right back.
Is it lovely there?
It's gorgeous. I wish I could stay.
So if people are planning spring break trips and they buy a plane ticket, but then 2 weeks later they change their mind because circumstances are still more troublesome, will the airlines give them their money back or a 100% voucher? What's happening out there?
Well, I'm going to give you a qualified answer on that, John, because about 2 weeks ago the airlines made an announcement that they were going to grant waivers that would let you either rebook or cancel your flight for no fee or penalty and get a refund. But the wording of it was a little troublesome because it was only for people who bought their tickets starting last Monday the 2nd or this Monday the 9th, yesterday. Most people don't plan their trips that way. Most people plan their trips 4 or 5 weeks in advance or even further away. The airlines are desperately trying to maintain their hold on cash. However, for anything that's bought this week, next week, or the week after, most airlines have basically said, we will honor that waiver and get you your money back with no questions asked should the conditions, you know, either worsen or change. That's the way it should be all along. People forget that airlines make more money from change fees and ancillary fees than they actually make from operating as airlines. Now, to be fair about it, airlines right now are in big trouble. They're hemorrhaging cash. Airports are looking a little bit like ghost towns, either because of corporate travel policies or not letting their own business people travel, or people just not wanting to go right now in the wake of the coronavirus. Airlines are like looking at like 40% load factors, and nobody makes money when that happens.
I noticed that they said March 1st to March 14th or 21st, something like that, that they will help you out. But most of I've got a trip planned in a few weeks, and we bought those tickets a long time ago. What should I expect from the airline in that case?
Well, what I would suggest for anybody who bought tickets before March 2nd for a trip happening this month or next month, it does you no good to want to cancel now. I would wait. It's called hedging your bets. Let's see what happens with the coronavirus. Let's see if they're able to contain it. Let's see if they're able to regionalize it. Because if they are, then why wouldn't you take the trip? And if they're not, there'll be so many people in the same boat that you are, that the airlines might actually cave in and do the right thing and give you a full run, a full refund, or let you rebook for a later date with no penalty fee.
Personally, that would satisfy me. I mean, I understand their desire to have that money, and it's a ticket I bought. I'll fly again another day. I'll make plans to fly another day, but I'd like 100% back on it. This is an extraordinary circumstance.
Yes, it's a force majeure. I mean, it's nothing that we plan. It's an act of God, if you will. And the airlines are slowly but surely starting to do the right thing. My experience dictates that if you call the airline and you get somebody on the phone who's not nice to you, you have the unalienable right to hang up the phone and call again till you get to somebody who is nice to you. And always ask to speak to a supervisor, because you never want to take a no from somebody who's not empowered to give you a yes in the first place. And supervisors at airline reservation centers usually have the opportunity and the flexibility to override some blocks on their computers and do the right thing. You just got to keep calling, be persistent, and most importantly, be nice.
Peter Greenberg's on a phone line from somewhere out there. By the way, Peter, yeah. Most recently we talked about having the kind of travel insurance that you can cancel for any reason at any time. And a lot of people on cruises or, say, several week-long stays in Airbnbs around the country and world are cashing in on those. They're using those insurance policies. I guess I could have that for run-of-the-mill airline tickets too, right? But most of us don't.
No, if you have a $59 airline ticket, you're not going to insure it. If you have a $3,000 cruise, you should. But the rule of thumb here, as many other fingers are included in this, is you never buy the insurance from the travel provider themselves, because if for any reason they go out of business, so does your insurance. You want to buy it from a third party, and any travel agent can sell it to you. But we have to be careful here about the language in those policies. Trip cancellation and insurance policies have various levels of inclusion and exclusion. For example, you can't buy fire insurance after the second floor catches fire. So if you want today to buy a trip cancellation and insurance policy, I would bet my career that there's a paragraph in there that excludes the coronavirus. Insurance companies are not that stupid. However, you mentioned cancel for any reason. Those policies do exist, but I've got to give you the proper caution on that. They're a very expensive premium, number one. And number two, if you do use them, on average, you're going to get back about 75% of what you paid for the trip. You're not going to get 100% back.
What about Amtrak and things like that? Are you hearing anything particular about their policies there?
Amtrak is like following suit with the airlines. They're doing a better job in that respect. What really surprised me is what Amtrak announced 2 days ago, that they were canceling, suspending all nonstop Acela service between New York and Washington until May 26th. That gives you an idea of the total, collapse of business travel in the Northeast Corridor. That's a scary thought.
Are you critical with Amtrak, the airlines, or the administration? The governors? Were we all not poised for this, and could we have been?
We were prepared for the rapid collapse of the travel market. Remember, it started with the Chinese outbound travel market, 150 million Chinese that were basically on lockdown and weren't traveling anywhere in the world. And that didn't hit us hard. What hit us hard were those optics, the bad optics of the picture of that one cruise ship quarantined in Yokohama.
Yeah.
And everybody's saying, and the subtext there is, not that I just don't want to go somewhere, because we all want to go somewhere. We have a need to go somewhere. But what the reaction really was, and the subtext was, I don't want to go somewhere, get stuck, and get quarantined. As a matter of fact, the reservations at cruise lines right now exceed the cancellations of cruise ships right now exceed the number of new reservations. They're in big trouble, especially when the State Department issued an advisory that I happen to think was somewhat badly worded. What it was supposed to say was that anybody who was over the age of 70 with a pre-existing respiratory condition should probably not take a cruise. It was misinterpreted by many members of the media to read, nobody should take a cruise. So you can imagine what's going on the cruise lines right now.
It's kind of ironic anyway, because most people on cruises are over the age of 60, at least the cruises I've been on, and they're just lovely people and they're lovely cruises, but that's their sweet spot.
Yeah, but you know what, John? But John, you're picking the wrong cruise. The median age of a cruiser right now is about 51 years of age.
No kidding.
That number's gone way down. Absolutely. So get with it, man.
Travel safe. It's always a pleasure to hear you, and we so appreciate your expertise. We'll listen for you Sunday night at 7 o'clock. You'll have more time to go into depth on this. Thank you, Peter.
Anytime, John.
Peter Greenberg. The Eye on Travel is on WGN Radio weekends, this weekend, Sunday night at 7 o'clock. John Williams here. It's 11:34. Let's put Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy on. We are hearing about this stimulus package from the White House. Congressman, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Hey, how are you, John?
What's the latest on this now? I've seen 4 points, and they all seem like good ideas. The market reacted positively, then it gave it all away. Now we're kind of trading even. I don't know if that means much, but just tell me what you know, Congressman.
Well, we haven't seen any kind of legislative package. I think that the leadership in both parties is trying to figure out what they can support, you know, and working with the White House, you know, what the president will support. Whatever it is, it has to be swift, because in my opinion, you know, we're going to continue to see a decline in the economy fast if we don't, you know, try to address it quickly.
It seems to me like if people are worried that they're not going to get paid if they don't go to work, which maybe they should do. Don't go to work if you're sick. If you have the virus, if you think you have the virus, don't go to work. Don't infect other people. Self-quarantine. That seems to be a good idea, but some people can't afford that. What relief?
Correct.
What relief is there for them?
Well, I think that one proposal that's being floated out there is, you know, paid sick leave, especially for these hourly workers, as you say, who don't get paid unless they work. But if we want them to stay at home and not, you know, get others infected, and of course for them to get well, you know, we have to probably provide them with relief so they can put food on the table for their families.
How does that work? Who pays? So the government would pay them what they would have made? Is that it? And how does that transact? Do you know?
We don't know the specifics of it, John. There are a couple other measures as well that I just want to mention very quickly. You know, this is something that's going to be subject of the hearing that I'm co-chairing tomorrow with Anthony Fauci as one of our witnesses from the NIH, as well as Mr. Redfield, the director of the CDC. But a lot of people are very fearful of getting tested for coronavirus and certainly treated because of the costs. And that's a big subject of discussion because, as you know, a lot of people remain uninsured and underinsured. And if they don't get tested and treated, not only will they get sick, but they'll expose the rest of us. A couple of other planks that are being discussed in, as part of this proposal are unemployment insurance, extended unemployment insurance, as well as making sure, you know, safety net programs like SNAP and food stamps don't get prematurely cut through regulations that are being proposed now by the White House. As you know, we just can't allow children to go hungry, and certainly families during this crisis. And then finally, the president is proposing some kind of a payroll tax cut or something that would allow people to have a little more money to spend. I think all of these are going to be subject to discussion in the coming days.
What is a payroll tax? What does that mean? Is that FICA? Is that what you're talking about?
I think, well, I'm not sure that they would want to cut that particular tax because that obviously funds Social Security, but they might take some kind of a holiday with regard to federal income tax or what happened during the Obama stimulus at the beginning of 2009 was a check that goes to people. My opinion is it's got to be enough that it makes a difference. If it's just like $100, a couple hundred dollars, I don't think that's really going to move the ball.
Well, but it seems to me, Congressman, that okay, so if give me more money, the theory is I'll go out and spend it. Although they're also saying don't go out, and maybe the things you want you can't find. I'm not sure that more money in my pocket is the solution. Don't you think the markets will recover? We don't need to stimulate spending right now. We just need to get over this medical hump that we're in the midst of.
Well, I agree we have to get over the medical hump for sure. And that, again, is going to be the subject of tomorrow's hearing. But in the meantime, we're already seeing people talk about layoffs. Yeah. We're already seeing people basically telling their workers to stay home, though they don't get paid. And we're also seeing folks, you know, cancel plans for vacations and other buying decisions they've already made. But basically what that does is it sucks money out of the system, right? It takes away economic activity. And so one way of restoring that is allowing people to have a little more money to be able to spend, whether it's on daily activities or something else. But you know, and for people at lower incomes, they spend that money faster just because their daily demands as a percentage of their total income are just higher. So I think these are reasonable proposals. We just haven't seen the specifics yet.
The president signed an emergency spending package of over $9 billion, more than I think a lot of us heard that was first being bandied about. Are you satisfied with that? Is that too much, too little? What about that?
Well, I think it's a start. And what that was primarily meant to do were two things. One, we have to speed up the development of a vaccine for this particular virus. Unfortunately, it will take a little while to develop that, but at least $3 billion was devoted specifically to that purpose, and a chunk of that was also intended to make sure that it's affordable once it's developed. So that's one thing. The second is another large tranche of the $8 billion was dedicated to providing states and local jurisdictions with money so that, you know, they can, you know, defray the cost of being frontline responders, you know, whether it's Cook County Hospital, whether it's our Illinois public labs. They are seeing a tremendous amount of activity that was never budgeted for. We never saw this coming, you know, a couple months ago. So this is what, you know, a lot of that $8 billion is meant for.
One of our listeners texted in and said the president said he's meeting with Republican lawmakers about this. I trust he's meeting with both parties on this. Can you comment on that at all, Raj?
I don't know when he's meeting with Speaker Pelosi or if his deputies are meeting with Speaker Pelosi and Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. I expect that's happening as well. But I think that it's happening rapidly right now.
Okay. So whatever the occasional tweets or barbs are from one side or the other, it's your view that the machinations of the federal government are working as cohesively as possible right now?
I haven't heard anything to the contrary. I think there's a lot of tweets that happen around here. But I think, you know, this is one of those situations where I'm very hopeful that we can pause a little bit of the partisanship and, you know, get something done because, you know, people are getting sick and our economy, unfortunately, is, you know, suffering as well.
Yeah. Just got a text from another listener said, John, we just had our hours cut for the month because of all of the city cancellations. I'm hearing from electricians, carpenters, people that work at McCormick Place, people that work at school districts, people that work at venues all around the city. So this stimulus maybe can't come soon enough. Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy, I trust you're doing well. We understand that six of your colleagues are self-quarantining. You're okay, huh, Raj?
I'm good. You know, I think that we just have to take our precautions like everyone else, you know, washing hands. I haven't seen this much hand sanitizer ever. Wow. Making sure that we maintain social distancing practices. I think that's the way they describe it. And, of course, the elbow bumps are everywhere to be seen at this point. No more handshaking for a while.
Nice to talk to you, Congressman. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
You betcha. Take care now. The city has got a press conference scheduled with the health department and also the Chicago Public Schools. We plan to cover that live next. David Jennings in the WGN Radio Newsroom. Evidently, the city isn't ready for that press conference, but any moment, I trust.
No, they are not. We have not seen any sign of them yet. But it is supposed to be from representatives of the Chicago Public School System and the Chicago Department of Public Health talking about what they are doing to keep their schools and the students in those schools safe.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of schools that have closed already or been closed. In fact, here they are. Here they are right now. John, let's go right over to where they are.
Our students at CPS. We're working hand-in-hand with CDPH to ensure that we have a health and safety environment, safe environment for all of our students and staff. We're thankful that as of right now, another round of students have been tested. All of them have come back negative. As a parent of CPS students, I know how challenging this situation can be. That's why we're working diligently to provide daily updates to our parents, students, and families, and staff, especially those at Vaughn. We are one family, one district, and we're going to face this challenge together. It is critically important that our students and families and staff at Vaughn know that we will support them through this. The latest school-specific updates will be posted on our website, cps.edu/coronavirus. For families and staff at Vaughn, we have established a special hotline and email so that we can take in any requests that they may need. Each box, right now we have provided boxes of food, which I'll talk a little bit about for families at Vaughn. Each box has enough food for 3 days and will be available to Vaughn families beginning tomorrow at our CPS warehouse. We will also deliver food directly to families who are challenged with transportation. We would like to thank the Chicago Greater Food Depository for their support and their generous offer to support our families. If you've ever been to Vaughn, you know that the students, that the faculty and staff that work at these schools are some of the most dedicated and positive professionals that we have in our district. Our priority is to ensure that they have the support and resources that they need during this challenging time. In addition to Vaughn staff, we want to make sure that all staff that have been asked to quarantine themselves are paid throughout this time. There has been a lot of misinformation out there, and we want to use this time to stress that we should all be following the lead of the public health officials. They are the experts here. I also want to address a question that I've seen on social media. At the direction of the public health experts at CDPH, there are no plans to close any schools at this time. Should CDPH provide new guidance, we will be sure to update everybody as soon as possible. Please understand that this is a developing situation, and we thank our families and community members for their patience. While this remains an isolated incident at this moment, the district has developed a cross-functional team to address the issues as they arise. While this remains an isolated incident, we're planning for various scenarios. A few important steps that we've taken are noted. We've sent over 1 million emails over the weekend to provide constant updates to all district students, families, and stakeholders. In partnership with CDPH, we have also contacted members of the Vaughn School community individually to check on their well-being. We have provided Vaughn families and staff with a special hotline and email for any questions that they have so that they can have access to meals and also answer any pressing questions they have about their employment status or health. While the spread of this virus is airborne, our facilities department is delivering additional hand washing soap, disinfecting solution, and surface wipes for all high traffic surfaces. The district is disinfecting high-touch areas such as handrails, light switches, and doorknobs in all schools on a daily basis. The district is also distributing wash your hands signage in accordance with CDPH and CDC guidelines to all of our facilities. In the coming days, we will administer guidance on ensuring that we are offering all students a meaningful academic experience should learning be disrupted. Finally, we are asking all parents and staff to update their contact information at their respective schools. This is critically important in case there are developments in the spread of COVID-19. If parents have questions, they can reach out to our Healthy CPS call center at 773-553-KIDS. Again, that number is 773-553-KIDS. We're working closely with CDPH, and we will continue to keep our families updated as needed. At this time, I would like to ask Dr. Layden to come to the podium for brief remarks.
Thank you, Dr. Jackson, and all our great colleagues at the Chicago Public Schools. I wanted to take this opportunity to provide an update on our activities at Vaughn High School, as well as the approach for cleaning the school, and some comments about secondary contacts. Our investigation at Bond High School continues, which includes identifying individuals who may have been exposed, testing such individuals, and actively monitoring them for 14 days. Dr. Awadi discussed this yesterday at a press conference, and I want to recap some of these things. To recap, we are only testing individuals who are contacts of the case and who had symptoms. We do this because this is the appropriate course of action based on the science and what we know about this virus. Someone without symptoms or who wasn't exposed, we wouldn't test, and the test wouldn't be appropriate to identify if infection was there. I want to reassure people that we are following the science and doing a comprehensive investigation at Vaughan High School. We are contacting family members and staff members, providing them guidance, and this process continues. Tests are pending and will continue to occur, but as of today, we have identified no additional positives among staff or students associated with Vaughan High School. I also want to let you know that the original individual who tested positive from Vaughan High School continues to do well. With regard to the cleaning process, I know the cleaning process was already discussed, but I wanted to let you know that the science tells us that this virus is spread predominantly from droplets. It does not appear to live long on surfaces, and so the process by which was cleaning is very appropriate and is effective at killing the virus. And then finally, I want to talk a bit about the secondary contacts, which means contacts of contacts. I want to reiterate that secondary contacts, meaning contacts of individuals who have been identified to be contacts of students or staff and service providers, do not at this time need to take special precautions. I know there are a lot of questions about this, and I want to reassure people and remind people that it takes close direct contact with someone who is a case to be considered exposed to the virus. At this time, we'll open it up for questions. Thank you.
Dr. Jackson, you mentioned the second round of testing.
Yeah.
What prompted that testing and who was tested as part of that?
When I mentioned second round, just the next group of individuals that we're testing, and so we have set up a process, or CDPH has set up a process to test individuals who are high risk. I don't want to say the wrong word. I'm not a medical professional here, but I was just noting that the group of students that were tested, I believe on Sunday, that those results came back, and we're happy to report that that all of them are negative.
It's all the Vaughan community.
The Vaughan community, yes.
So is the Vaughan community following an education curriculum at this time?
Yeah, so right now, of course, this happened on Friday. So right now, we are exploring all of our options with e-learning. The good news is we do have a lot of opportunities for continual education online with Google Classroom and things like that. We have not given specific guidance on what should be happening with students and families every single day. Again, I have to reiterate how different the Vaughan environment is. It's a unique environment. Many of our students require the assistance of special education teachers and professionals in order to access the curriculum and do their work. And so we can't expect the same thing that we will be able to do in other schools where we could just give take-home assignments. But we are actively working on our e-learning structure.
In that group, how many people were tested?
I don't have that information.
Yeah, we're not going to comment on the aggregate number of individuals tested. Well, as we identify contacts, anyone who develops symptoms, we arrange for them to get testing. And we can say at this time of all individuals who've been tested, we have no positive tests.
What's the reason for that disclosure?
It changes very fluidly based on the number. And so to give you a number right now might not reflect what it is in a few hours.
That is Dr. Jennifer Layden with the Chicago Department of Public Health. You also have been listening to the CPS CEO Janice Jackson. WGN, Ji Suki is getting ready for a business lunch that'll probably be pretty busy, huh, Ji?
Hello, John Williams. Yes, I leave for one day and look what happens. Just kidding. We're going to be talking to the real experts that can explain everything. We'll check back in with Terry Savage. I know you heard from her yesterday. And of course, we'll hear from the Big O as well. So
I get texts all day long now. When is Terry Savage coming on? When is Terry Savage coming on? And is she in the first half hour then, too?
She sure is. We're going to be checking, talking with her right at the top of the show. So
it's funny because 2,000 points one day and then 900 points come back the next morning. And then we kind of gave that away.
Right. Kind of fizzled again. So it's just, it's just constantly moving. Hopefully they'll figure out a better plan, I think, in terms of, you know, getting testing available for everyone, and then hopefully the oil war will settle down.
So. Yeah, no kidding. That was one of the triggers there. I think this thing will run its course.